And welcome back to the Petcash Pod. I'm your host, Andrew Petcash. Another episode today where I interview founders, investors, athletes, and the smartest people in sports. Really getting up there, almost at 70 episodes now, which is crazy. But another awesome one today with my man, Kevin Jones. He is the CEO and founder of Blue Wire. They run over 300 podcasts. 90% of them are in sports. They recently opened up a crowdfunding round. We talk about that. We talk about the state of advertising, of sports media, of podcasts, and just how he scaled his company, his awesome story of starting with $17,000 after getting laid off in the sports journalism world to create this awesome company with investments from big VCs, East Carolina, Wynn Hotels. And this was a great one. I learned a bunch. You will as well. With that said, let's dive right in. Kevin, appreciate you coming on today. Excited to dive into this one. A lot of great stuff. Saw the crowd funds up, saw your LinkedIn post, and you guys are rolling, man.
Appreciate you, man. You're one of the first people I think about making a big announcement for something in sports business. Want to be with Andrew and ProFluent, and so excited to dive in more here.
I appreciate that. Now, Kevin, usually I like to start with your story, and it's interesting, but actually, while the topic's hot on the crowdfunding, I'd love to just, you know, get your thoughts on that, why you decided to open up this crowdfunding round, you know, the thought process that goes into it of where you guys are currently at, when you could have undoubtedly probably went and got some, you know, solid venture money, but to say, hey, let's open it up to anyone.
Totally. We're trying to become profitable as a business, which is super important in today's climate. A couple of years ago, it was raise from venture. And luckily, we have a really strong sales team and a lot of revenue. A lot of startups maybe couldn't maneuver from burning to becoming profitable. So that's been our goal this year. And what we realized is maybe we kind of want to leave this cycle of raising 5-10 million, having unrealistic expectations from investors. Podcasting is still a new, fragile industry. We want to grow at a more sustainable pace, have more of a long-term vision. So we've been working with some of our podcasters for 3, 4, 5 years now since we began the company and thought, why not? Let's see who would become a Blue Wire supporter. We haven't really been a B2C brand in our early days. We've been more of a B2B creator-facing brand. I think we'll still remain that, but we think sports business is a huge pond, and there's so many people surrounding it that actually want to be a part of something. And whether they're a VP of ticket sales at an NBA team or even doing their own thing, freelancing or creating their own business, Blue Wire can be place where they invest in, and maybe there's opportunities to. There's not a ton of angel networks in sports right now, and thinking we could bring together some great people as part of this wrap.
Yeah, what's the traction so far? I know it's fairly new. I looked. I think you just opened this up. What's it look like so far? And actually, you know, how can people, you know, check it out too? While we're at it,
wefunder.com/bluewire. You wrote about this. I'm just a big believer in crowdfunding and breaking down the walls. You can invest for as little as $100. There's people coming in for $1,000 or $10,000, $25,000, even more. So listen, I bet on Robinhood or I've bet on DraftKings before. We're saying we're a fun young company. As you're considering your investments, we want to be in that consideration.
Yeah, the whole crowdfunding is interesting. And obviously you guys have a super unique proposition. People go out on a Friday and bet $500, $1,000. To me, like, what's great about crowdfunding is it's going to allow people to just put together a portfolio. And I don't even like to call it betting because there's more to it if you're sophisticated. But in the sense, you can create this portfolio through it. And to have Blue Wire in that, to me, it just makes so much sense of this conversion of sports and sports betting and gambling and Robinhood. And the ability to do this now is amazing. For $100 to own some Blue Wire, I mean, it's crazy.
We wanted to do it at a fair valuation too, $25 million. We are not venture funded where we've raised $50 or $100 million and burned through all that. We've really just been scrappy. We have an unconventional forward-thinking group of investors in Wynn Resorts, Baron Davis, East Carolina, my alma mater. Really fits our story of being able to open this up. And yeah, for sure, $1 million, we're going to build our sales team up. We have great pipeline of huge names in there as we look to do more revenue split deals with large creators. And we're actually going to be building some software since we don't own the IP of creators, we want to have some of our own IP to help run this network more efficiently.
And so it's interesting. You kind of broke down. You have athlete investors. You have big chain, like company investors. You have universities. You have VCs. And now you have this crowdfunding arm. What's the value in the different, you know, in each one? Like, what's the differences that you see value-wise? Because obviously you see this whole crowdfund as a whole nother value add, right? And I'm just curious if you can go through that, like the value of an athlete investor versus a school investor versus a company, VC, crowdfunding.
Totally. Well, I'll give the advice for founders out there. The VC is the easy way if you have technology, or I think we didn't have technology in the beginning. So venture funds want a $1 billion company. Most people's ideas are not $1 billion, but some of them are good enough to really build out. So I think we're a story of if you're not convincing venture capitalists to come on, if they're not believing this is a huge company, actually, there's a lot of other unique people out there. And now with the law changes, the barriers have been broken down to connect with people over the internet. Wynn reached out to us. I reached out to East Carolina. You got to do some of your reaching out. Hopefully some people will reach out to you if you're building something cool. I would say have fair valuation too. We're 3x our revenue, or if you have 10, 20x, you got to be making money to have a valuation and, you know, kind of have a fair one. We kind of missed the bubble, if I'm being honest, right? There was a huge podcast bubble. A lot of companies were bought. Joe Rogan, Alex Cooper got all these big deals, these headlines. The space is changing and evolving, and we think it's actually catering more towards our company, where independent creators are very valuable, and there's still a lot of room for growth to manage and help them with their business, where we don't want to be competing for the top-level talent, the smartest of the world, handing out $70 million deals. The space is just so much bigger than that. There's so much great content. We can work with a lot of other folks.
Yeah. And you mentioned a little bit earlier the scrappiness of this, and you said in your LinkedIn post today, even started with 17K. I know, and I'd love for you to go in your story. You basically got fired, and then now there's this whole full circle loop of what you're building. So I'd love for you to just kind of take us through it, how it happened, how it played out, and the opportunity you saw, and then how you built it out. And, you know, you can condense it, summarize it down, but that would be awesome. It's an awesome story worth telling for sure.
Always wanted to work in sports. Worked in sports media for 10 years, you know, grew up wanting to have my own radio show. Finally got all the way out to San Francisco after working for the Cleveland Browns. My hand is in the Johnny Manziel documentary, made my big debut on Netflix. And I worked at, covered RG3, Bryce Harper's rookie year. So I'd seen a lot of, shook a lot of hands, met a lot of players, agents, moved to San Francisco. It was the Warriors, Kaepernick was kneeling. It was a great time to be in San Francisco. The radio job was not the dream I'd always hoped for. The culture wasn't great at KMBR and Cumulus. It was catered towards talent who had been there for 20 and 30 years. Digital was not really a priority there. And I was like, wow, I had heard of KMBR when I was little. I remember John Miller's voice and some of these voices being in the video games. Like, the radio is not in a great place. I don't think they're developing young talent. They don't understand digital. So I got the idea for Blue Wire by choice, really. I had a falling out about my 49ers coverage. I tweeted something during a practice that I wasn't supposed to during an injury. It was kind of they were trying to get me out. It was not a fireable offense, but it was enough. And I had other small things. I climbed a fence one time that I got in trouble for. Like, yeah. I was like, dude, I probably don't fit here.
Yeah.
That's me. I'm entrepreneurial. And I kind of discovered that in my last stop in radio. I found a Blue Hour with $17,000 of my own money. I've had no savings being a journalist in San Francisco. So put it all on the table, got Lightyear's Sam and Andy from, they had a Warriors podcast. That was the first one on the team and kept rolling the last 5 years, just adding more content and advertisers.
Talk to us a little bit about the journey of Blue Wire, right? Because it's easy to get one or two podcasts, right? Just like people that say, I want to get into the agency space. Okay, yeah, your best friend plays football or basketball. Okay, you can get one or two clients. But then how did you really go scale this thing where you're not like, oh, okay, here's one, now two, five, 10, 15, and you're at like 300 or something crazy now, 8 million ARR, as you mentioned. You know, what was that process like for you? Because that's completely different than, you know, just starting it.
A couple things we do differently. I think I'm not a classically trained business person. So instead of email, we did a lot of DMing creators on Twitter. I have 17,000 followers or so, enough of a credibility to reach folks. I had a podcast in the beginning, which made it really authentic. I'm trying to solve this problem too. I'm covering the 49ers. I left radio. It's not the future. We should be banding together. The sell was easy, man. No one was making any money at all, like a few hundred bucks or less. Programmatic ads from platforms like, I think of Audio Boom, Libsyn. There's 10 or 20 of these where you can go upload. And
right.
I think independent creators were getting a little bit more ripped off there. What if we grouped us together? The first few people I paid a little bit of a bonus of my own 17K had designer. You know, you really have to ration that first 17,000 correctly. If not, it's over. So, you know, I was clear with my mom. If I don't get this right, I'll move back to Virginia. I'll work a government job. I'll figure it out. So those early days, you need belief in your podcasters, the people you're working with. They believe, I believed it was kind of a future vision of what it could be. And people who were making a few hundred dollars with me at the beginning are making $5,000 to $10,000 monthly. Now it's become a really strong side business, or some people even do this full time. And the athletes have even higher earning potential than that monthly that we work with, Richard Jefferson, Chris Long. So it's a wide variety of people, man. And Blue Wire's mission, like you said, to its core, I was laid off. I have a story. It's not an empty corporate box. We're trying to make this a real company.
And when you think about the podcast, obviously there's the value to, we'll just use like Chris Long, for example, right? There's the value to him to have his own podcast and have all the operations behind it. But like, if you could just go through the value adds to every side, right? What's the value add to Blue Wire of this? What's the value to Chris Long? What's the value to a brand that wants to come in and sponsor this? You know, what are the values across that ecosystem to each one, right? And how are they, I guess, compensated or rewarded?
Chris Long's bringing a young, valuable male audience to the table. And we position that in the marketplace to Game Time Ticketing app or a bunch of different brands that he works with, Miller Lite, who want to be in front of that young audience that he's reaching, highly engaged. He's posting every day. So we build out really custom stuff. Our bigger competitors, some of the publicly traded companies, don't do as much custom things as we do, meaning social, YouTube. Oh, Virgin Galactic, you want to make a merch item? We'll listen to that idea. We want to be nimble, and it's not just an ad campaign. It can be. We do those really well. I have great metrics, but can we tack on more things to reach the guy or girl you're trying to find on other platforms? Because we work with independent podcasters, but YouTube is becoming a huge part of podcasting. And I would say the social feeds is really their articles of where they write every day to their audience. So it's a whole 360 that we can go sell. There's more than 100 different advertisers that work with Blue Wire over a 12-month period, range from a small 10K test to $1 million year-long deal, and try to build an ecosystem to work with advertisers on a wide scale.
And from the, obviously, like you mentioned YouTube, and we were talking about radio a little bit earlier, I have a belief, and I was in radio a little bit for a year ago. I did a Thursday morning show, and then I launched my podcast shortly after, and I was just like, man, I just feel like podcasts might put radio out of business. Now, I know you're coming from both worlds. I'm just curious your thoughts on like the landscape as a whole of this audio world. Now, like you mentioned, YouTube videos becoming increasingly important. People love to watch Joe Rogan, whoever. They like to watch it while listening. But, you know, what's just the state of play of podcast, radio, just audio in general?
Audio is the CPM, the price per 1,000, is always going to be higher than video. It's a harder place to reach someone. So we want that to be our core business, where we think there's a harder moat to build what we did there. Video is a more crowded space where we're never going to be Barstool or someone who has a great video brand. But our creators combined have 5 million YouTube subscribers there. We should be able to sell that how we sell audio. I view video also for podcasting as a search engine like Google. It's really helping people discover new content, or even clips of shows in their in reels or shorts, whatever they're consuming the short clips in. Maybe they aren't subscribed to the podcast yet, but they're getting exposed to a lot more podcast clips. I feel like, so the audio, high price, that's why I like it. Video becoming a bigger part of our revenue, much bigger audience potential there. we don't monetize it like audio, but it's a part of our playbook for sure.
And from obviously the brands and the advertising and sponsorship's a big piece, but you're bringing people into this flywheel. Are you monetizing through merch? Is there, you know, what are some of those other ways that you're looking to now capitalize and grow the revenue even further? Because you have that listener, you have that community or that connection, I guess, engagement with a listener, like you said, which is worth more to advertisers, but there has to be other things on the back end of Blue Wire that you're thinking about at least.
Events is probably our third pillar. We don't have an events team, small team, just 24 employees. So we band together. We have our Las Vegas studio inside of the Wynn, seventh largest hotel, Miller Lite. A few others have sponsored events there. We did a Super Bowl party with Miller Lite in Phoenix. They were also with us at the draft. I do believe we're going to launch a mobile Blue Wire studio one day, whether that's a van or want to be at more events, see that becoming a larger part of the playbook. Our creators are all over the country and we could be meeting them in cool places. We could have a driver who's a fun character, maybe a host of some sorts. Merch, we're not there yet. We are thinking about products long-term. We're thinking about joint ventures. We're complimentary of Barstool and the pink lemonade, vodka, and different things that they've launched. So we're thinking of some of our bigger creators. Is there a product that they're using all the time? Is there something that they would be loving to push? Could we do a joint venture with a creator ourselves and even a brand? Go a third, a third, a third. We'll be the engine. There's a front man and there's a brand who actually builds the product. I don't know if I'm going to get in the product building game. There's a lot of outsourced stuff you can get there. I see us licensing our name, Blue Wire. We're inside the hotel now. We could be inside stadiums or Buffalo Wing places, places where you congregate for sports and entertainment. These are big picture, years away types of ideas, but we're starting to slowly execute events and some other things to show. 20% of our revenue is outside of ads. We really want to keep that sustainable as we keep growing, challenge ourselves to grow new business inside of Blue Wire.
And in terms of mainly sports, but do you see this expanding beyond of going to other verticals within the podcast game?
10% of our content now is outside of sports. We used to have a little bit more. We monetize sports better. I think advertisers are a little hungrier there. But you're right. The problem we're solving is for all independent creators, ones who aren't big enough for the big deal, but they're getting ripped off currently, having no one sell their ads. So we have some wellness content currently, some business, a little bit of pop culture. It's tangential to sports. Would like that category to get bigger. It will have to really keep growing our audience size. But sports right now, we're just scratching the surface. I think we're going to have a couple big announcements in the next couple months of talent adding to the team.
You think?
You never know, man. It's free agency every day. We're definitely competing with big dogs. We have some good offers out to folks. And just really believe in independent podcasting. People want to own their IP and we can be the business to help them.
Yeah, talk about that a little bit. I'm always curious on that, on the IP, like how you negotiate that stuff, right? Because, you know, the grass can always be greener to some people, right? So how are you guys making sure you're protected yourselves? Is there like an exit fee if a creator leaves or, you know, I know that's probably part of your, you know, IP, but, you know, what are some ways you guys protect yourselves?
That's the biggest risk in the business. We're basically a hotel. We're saying that you're going to want to stay here because the options out there are not better. We're going to keep improving the experience, building the software, give you revenue transparency, listen to your questions. But I truly believe sports, the way it has been constructed, is evil of laying off people. All my articles have been deleted from clevelandbrowns.com. Everything I've ever created is,
wow.
New systems come in, whatever. You really, an employee isn't actually a great word in sports media. You are, unless you're a superstar. Even Stephen A. Smith was talking about, am I going to get laid off? Sometimes you make too much or you're never making enough to get by. We're trying to create an alternative here, but yes, I'm at risk. VCs don't like the business because people can leave. Someone's going to spin up a competitor to Blue Wire, right? There's all these narratives that you can convince yourself this is a bad model. Everyone's owned and operated Ringer, Barstool. They all own their content, but that is where we're zagging, where everyone's zigging, saying there's just so much in this independent pond where people are just doing their own thing. Come do it with us.
Any trends in sports that you're paying attention to beyond just podcasting or crowdfunding or what you guys are doing?
NIL, I don't think anyone's cracked that code or done something special there. We're flirting with a few collectives and I think we can improve the content that's coming out of there. A lot of social posts or just big announcements when an athlete gets sponsored. Can we take it to the next level, facilitate a good conversation, podcast, how we've been doing, and add more value to the creator, the brand, the collective? We think we can be a good third party here. We're paying attention to the bigger players in audio, always. Spotify sets the trend, really, of the industry. Them wanting to be profitable this year, we almost have to follow that. That's how young the industry is. They're such a big leader. So always monitoring what the big guys are up to, how we can be different than them. That's super important. Championing this independent thing, we're not the only ones doing that, but we just have such unique people a part of it, at least with Inside Sports. So there's 25 networks within Blue Wire. I think I'm looking for more people to launch podcast networks beyond their show, and us being the place to help you build out a network, network as a service. I see more athletes, colleges, teams launching networks, not just one show, having fans get involved, have just build more of an audio property. Think of it as a radio station and not just one podcast.
Yeah, it makes sense. And you guys are like the white labeled sort of solution.
We're like the wholesale ads, and then we can disperse ads to a lot more people.
Right. What's the ad space look like currently? I guess in sports, it's been good, obviously, the last few years, but it can be shaky at times. So what's that space?
We're growing. We're growing slower than last year. Win was a big part of our revenue last couple of years, and our ad business is growing. One of our big advertisers laid off 1,000 people earlier in the year. That's going to impact their marketing spend, right? There's when macro conditions are layoffs and some of those things, I think we've gotten past that. Q3 and Q4 are generally our best quarters, with football, basketball being some of our biggest content. But
is it seasonal, basically?
It is seasonal.
Seasonal and cyclical, probably.
But we tried to add a bunch of golf content this year to combat, NBA slows down, NFL slows down, we need to have some more content in the spring. So we're always looking at our portfolio and thinking of which season it's hot. Fantasy is so hot right now. It'll cool off in the middle of the season. And we have great fantasy content, RotoViz, RotoWire. So there's so many great sports discussions happening. We're just trying to bring them all together. That is really the goals.
Yeah. And as we wind this down, for creators or podcasters or anything, what's your evaluation, or, you know, what are you looking for? Obviously, I'm sure you do some outreach. I'm sure a lot of people reach out to you to have shows. You know, what's that process? Or for anyone that's thinking about it or thinks they have a good idea, you know, what does that process look like? Or how can they, you know, increase their chances or get in front of you or whatever?
We're looking for about 25,000 downloads per month to monetize with us. We will occasionally take less than that if the person's adding a ton of value. But once you're hitting that, a lot of people have to do more volume to hit that. You know, a couple thousand downloads an episode is still a valuable podcast, even if you're not monetizing it a lot. If the audience is really valuable people, or you're also growing your Twitter following, there, you want loyal folks. The people listening to your pod are generally, they're about you. They're spending a lot of time with you. So I encourage people to keep going. The podcasters who make the most with us started the longest ago in 2015, 2016. It's just kind of a slower grind. YouTube, some people go viral, grow faster. Their podcasting, it's harder to grow faster, but it can be a breadwinner asset for you with ad revenue. If you get big enough, it can be employing yourself, a couple other people underneath you. I'd say our top 10 podcasts have true business revolving around their show and trying to get more and more to that level.
No doubt. Yeah, cool. Well, Kevin, obviously told your story, went through everything. I guess as we close out, we talked about the crowdfund, but any future initiatives or where we can find you or learn more, people can reach out, you know, that would be awesome and shine some light on Blue Wire here. For
my DMs are always open, have been since the beginning of the company. We built them on DMs. DMs is a great way to reach me. Shout out to Henry on my team. He's helped me monitor those for years, and so we don't miss anything. But say just DM me if you're interested in the round.
And that's at Kevin Jones or
at Mr. Score on at Mr. _Kevin Jones. My name is so freaking popular. I got to have numbers or underscores. So did that.
Kevin Jones. There has to be a lot of those out there. I know it.
But yeah, if you type my name in Blue Wire, it should come up. And dude, appreciate you, your platform blowing up. Thank you for allowing me to hop on here.
No, I appreciate it, dude. And we'll keep the discussion going and, you know, look forward to seeing this crowdfund close up and you guys take it to the next level. I think it's needed in the space and just being on both sides of the media side, the business side, and all these different sides of sports. You guys, you know, cover a lot of that. And I'm curious to see what you do in NIL and just keep adding value to these athletes and creating the structure for them, because it's hard to just do it on your own, which a lot of people wouldn't know.
For sure, man. Appreciate the kind words here. Look forward to the episode.